Welcome to Thundercast, ThunderTech's podcast where we give you our take on what's new in marketing, what's cool, what's lame, and why you should care.
Hey, and welcome back to Thundercast, ThunderTech's regular podcast. I'm your host, Craig Israel, here with my regular co-host, Eric Krylo.
Back at it again.
And so, Eric, this is another in our special series of trends-related podcasts. Trends, of course, is the annual publication we put out where we analyze marketing trends that are of interest to our customers and the wider marketing community. More about how to get your own copy of the Trends book at the end of the podcast. But today we are talking about one of the topics covered in the Trends book, and that is business intelligence. So to help us understand, to help increase our intelligence about
intelligizing.
We have two special guests in the studio, Kyle Coughlin, our automation marketing specialist. Is that right? Did I get your title right?
Marketing automation specialist.
That's what I said. Yes. And Jason Therrien, founder and president of ThunderTech.
Most days my title's that. Yes. Howdy.
All right, guys. So let's jump right into it. What is business intelligence?
Well, I can field that one. So business intelligence is this idea behind using data to help drive decision making. It's to get away from gut feelings and, you know, just broad thoughts and more towards we can see the answer in the data, and we're going to use that to help us make decisions a little bit more intelligently.
Oh, clever. And that's business intelligence, also called BI.
Yes.
Not BM, like I first read it.
No, or BO.
Very, very good.
BI, yes.
Okay, so that makes a lot of sense, using the data you have at your fingertips instead of just going with your gut.
Yeah.
But where's that data coming from?
I think this is today's podcast has a lot in common with the other trends podcasts about CX, the customer experience, where really it's so much about data being more visible and transactional and able to be coupled across the enterprise. Yep. You know, so data has usually been collected in some way, shape, or form in most organizations, but now being able to see across perhaps different silos or different lengths of transaction, et cetera, to put that data to work to make decisions is really where this is a trend now. And it's a trend, especially in the middle market, where more companies are finally hooking their systems together and allowing that that customer journey to be better mapped, frankly, and then to be able to make better decisions because they can see the actual data.
And I would think that with, you know, middle market companies, those are the ones where the C-level folks are a lot closer to the business. And so it makes sense why they would need that data-driven information so they can make those decisions. Because obviously the closer you are to something, the more likely you are to go with your gut, mm-hmm. or the more likely you are to sort of second-guess things. Whereas, you know, so it definitely makes sense. I like where this is headed.
So with middle market starting to really embrace this, do you think that's because the biggest guys, the Fortune 100 guys, are already doing it and it's trickling down? Or is it just that the data sources themselves have become more readily available to everyone in the market?
I'd say a mixture of both, where, you know, large organizations certainly have the budget to put forth towards business intelligence. But with the smaller companies, you're definitely seeing the necessity to become a little bit more intelligent, work smarter, not harder. And this is something where if you have the information from marketing, sales, operations, customer service across the board, and we start to tie that together, then you are really becoming a much more intelligent organization.
So it shouldn't come as a shock to any of our listeners, this concept of taking the different silos, if you will, of your business and bringing those together. So I hope that's one of the points that I think we get across more often than not, is you shouldn't work in a silo. You know, you communicate amongst those teams in order to determine what points of data should be collected and how those are collected.
Yeah, it's that integrated nature. And, from the data that comes from customer service can really help those in business development, and it can help in marketing, so that if you're seeing specific issues coming up again and again and again, those can be addressed through things like sales and marketing materials.
And when we were looking at basically the layout of what to cover this year, what was trend worthy for our books. This was a really interesting one where we're getting a lot of feedback from clients themselves that are entering into this space or that are starting to hook more systems together, starting to share data across those silos, as you mentioned, Eric. And I think that's where this is not something new, perhaps, or this is not maybe even the most sexiest thing, but there's this movement certainly in the market, and I think it's early enough that if you're not moving at all or you're not moving fast enough along it, you got to sit up and start paying attention because likely your competitors are.
Oh, yeah.
And absolutely your customers expect you to understand your own data about them.
Oh, yeah.
So speaking of data, in reading through the article, what really struck me is how much data is available to most marketers, and not just the big, you know, Fortune 100 companies, but, you know, as outlined in the article, you know, you have the data you would expect, data on sales. That's numbers and shipping and, you know, things like that. You know, you might have surveys from your customers, but there's also a wealth of data in other silos too. Can you guys talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. You know, from the marketing standpoint, most organizations out there that have a website are going to have something along the lines of Google Analytics or, you know, Hotjar to be tracking behavior and engagement across the site. So that can really start to unlock how folks are engaging with you from a digital perspective. And we can start to tie those things with, you know, CRM data and e-commerce data to start to see how that digital engagement is then tying over into actual sales and business being driven from that, those digital tactics. You know, that then ties into, you know, how you can start to drive some of your digital advertising. If you're seeing folks engaging with a specific product, then maybe that's the product that should be, you know, remarketed after folks leave your actual website. So it's there, as you're saying, Craig, there are so many different data sources just, you know, in the marketing department alone, not to mention, you know, the CRM, the, you know, getting into the ERP and inventory systems, the distribution platforms that operations can use. Yeah, there's a plethora of information that's out there.
And so for most clients, this may not be new. This is data they already have in some system somewhere. Mm-hmm. But what business intelligence is talking about, if I understand it, is really connecting all those data points and making it actionable.
Yeah, it's unlocking the door and letting the data start to engage with other data. If you're only looking at things from a single point, you're not getting the full picture. You're only seeing things single-sided. So by connecting some of those dots, we're able to see things from a much broader perspective.
And I would also argue that I think in terms of this chart that you'll see if you go and download the trends book, the operational element most mature organizations have, right? They have a way to track inventory. They have a way to do production planning, all those types of things. Sales, you know, is a mixed bag. Sometimes you have legacy CRM systems. Certainly more moving towards web-based and more tools around there. Client portals are warming up as a trend and the data that you can extract from activities on that. But it's certainly in that element, it's not a given that most sales organizations are fully up to speed with these platforms. And then marketing is a hodgepodge too. You might be collecting website data, but not looking at remarketing data. You might be not looking at, you know, user experience data through, Kyle, you mentioned Hotjar or softwares like that that go beyond just basic analytics.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, the business intelligence allows for more lifetime action or actionable analytics where, you know, from the ERP and inventory standpoint, if you are seeing that, you know, that a product is low on inventory, that can alert sales to, you know, either push that harder to clear everything out or to, you know, transition their focus on something different because they don't want to oversell a product that there is an inventory to actually support that. So it allows for that more lifetime action rather than, you know, having to fix a problem after the fact.
So I imagine, you know, when you're covering all these different disciplines within your company, I imagine, you know, like to Jason's point, yes, these companies do have this information already and they are gathering it. But I imagine that not all of it is great data. So how do you first address the whole cleanup of the data when you start to think about this process or identify the sources of this information and where it's stored?
A common discussion point.
Yeah. Well, we're hoping that we don't have to go in there and start cleaning. We're hoping that beforehand that there are some thoughts behind data governance and, you know, using best practices as it relates to data input. But in most cases, that isn't always the situation. So starting at the beginning, making sure that there are some key pieces involved. So you've got email addresses that are valid. So using, you know, an email verification validation process, data mapping across these channels is going to be key, where people do have multiple email addresses, and typically email is the unique identifier that a lot of these platforms use. So there is going to be a manual process at that to start connecting some of those multiple email clients, things of that nature, looking at things maybe an account-based perspective where it isn't just a one-to-one or like a B2C organization, but if you're a B2B marketer, you can be thinking about it from the company level. So all of these folks fall underneath this one specific account. So how are they engaging with you? So we can start to bucket that together in that way.
Eric, one of my favorite buzzwords, since we're dropping them, data hygiene.
Yes. Ooh, data hygiene. Yes. Not just about brushing your teeth.
Do we have a toothbrush sound effect, Christian, that we can toss in here someplace?
Work on it.
All right.
Yeah, we'll do that in post.
Yeah,
but that's not an uncommon concern with our customers or marketers in general, right? That businesses are gathering all this information because someone along the line told them they should, but then it's just building up and they don't know what to do with it.
Right.
Yeah, and that's where time can be an enemy or scale, right? So if you got hundreds of salespeople and they're not trained or checked on, and they're just dumping data left and right, and then maybe doing it over a long period of time, you got more of that mess. I mean, you are far from hygienic.
Yeah, and we've walked into a number of situations where, you know, organizations were collecting a lot of data over and over and over for years, and now they want to get into business intelligence, we start to dig into that data, and we're like, guys have some major hygiene issues with this. And so we have to go back at the beginning, train the sales reps to be entering in data into their CRM in a much more succinct, consistent way, so they're not just copying things out of emails, throwing it in there, you know, without any rhyme or reason. So, yeah, that definitely is something that we run into quite often.
Mm-hmm. And we've seen the opposite, too, right, that we go to a client and say, can we have access to your Google Analytics? And they're like, what are Google Analytics, right? So yep. Even if I guess it's more of a question, even if a company isn't actively collecting data right now, is it ever too late, right? Can they dip their toe into it right now and get started?
Absolutely. There's all sorts of data that even if you believe you're unorganized, you're probably collecting and that you could sift through to find some value, especially if you're trying to make a case to sell this up the chain that we need to be doing more of this, or mm-hmm. we need to be investing in systems or programs or training to do this better into the future. Every organization of any size has some level of data that they can make work for that case.
Yeah. And even if it's not something that you have digitally or in a file cabinet or on a post-it note on your desk, you can go out and ask your customers. You can ask your users questions. You can gather that information if you truly feel that you have none of it.
Right.
So those sources do exist.
Yeah. And most folks don't even know about all of the data that they're sitting on. And you know, one of the sections in our article is there's so much gold in those systems. And there really is. And it's just unlocking that so you can actually start to get some of those key nuggets out of the data that you have available to you.
Yeah, we've gone into sizable mid-market organizations that have a spreadsheet wizard mm-hmm. on staff. You think this data always has to live in a system, and not necessarily. It might just be in this shared spreadsheet that they've been using for years, and it just needs to be opened up because the data is possibly very powerful in it.
Well, and just like the systems that we're talking about are connected, you know, it makes sense for folks that are doing things maybe spreadsheet style. It's perfectly okay as long as everyone is on the same page within that organization. So sales is filling out the spreadsheet the same way that the customer service team is filling out the spreadsheet.
You got it.
Yeah, and that helps from one of the other sections in our article to close that loop, to get a better understanding of how folks are traveling through that buyer's journey from marketing or from marketing to sales, and then after the sale closes to then customer service, so we can start to see how folks are really engaging with that organization throughout their entire process.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. I'm a company. I have access to a bunch of data. I'm trying to be hygienic with my data.
Thank you.
I'm trying to communicate between the different data points. How do I, like it says in the article, how do I close the loop and start using that to actually transform prospects into sales?
Yeah, mapping out that customer lifecycle is going to be one of those big first steps that we want to have, and making sure that we've got data that associates with those different steps in the process to actually be tracking this, so that we can see that they're moving from that top of the funnel pre-sale all the way through to, you know, becoming an engaged customer long term. So the closing the loop really helps from that attribution standpoint, so that we're understanding where to be spending our dollars. If one of the examples that we walk through is overlaying zip code data, over a geographic map, so you can start to see where your customers are actually located, not just your customers, but your prospects. So by starting to see kind of the engagement in that sense, we can be spending our dollars in a much more intelligent manner. If we're seeing that we have a lot of customers in the east side of Cleveland, well, we're not going to buy digital outdoor on the west side of Cleveland. It has to deal with engagement of that sort.
Yeah.
And so for a company that may not be doing this right now, what advice do you have for getting started? Is business intelligence a thing where you have to go in whole hog and change systems and invest a lot of time and effort? Or can you kind of ramp up and start a little more slowly?
I think the reason that we're seeing this, especially starting to catch speed and become this trending topic within especially the middle market, is it's very uniquely positioned for the marketer's role, because marketers are used to asking questions, understanding the consumer experience, and also making hypotheses, right? And that's what I think a lot of this data kind of connection is about, is that start a pilot, right? You don't have to go whole hog and buy a bunch of systems right off the rip. If you've got Excel spreadsheets and they've been running your company for years, that's fine. No, you're going to have to do something with that data eventually, but start with the questions that you think you want to get answered and work backwards from there. Yeah. See if the data proves out those hypotheses, let some time go, and then continue to iterate and adjust.
Yeah, it's going back to science class in seventh grade, the scientific method, walking through the process and having that process that you can implement time and time again, having it be a little bit more time constrained, so it's not just we're going to run this A-B test for an indefinite amount of time. It's we're going to run this test for the next 3 months. We're going to see how that performs, and then we're going to use that data to drive the decision making over the next X number of months after that.
Well, and I like your high school biology or chemistry analogy, science, whatever, because there are guardrails to that.
Yes,
and I think that's the point here is you're using data, so I guess educated knowledge.
Right.
To push these things forward, but you also know that there's a chance that it doesn't work.
Yeah.
So making sure you set a time limit on it, and also goals would like to. I think
exactly.
Craig mentioned it much earlier about setting up goals. It's important to know that, and it's also important not to be afraid to be wrong, but having a plan to pivot thereafter. Mm-hmm. I think that's really important. It's something that not a lot of marketers do. They feel like it's a one shot deal, and if it works, it works. If not, who are we firing first?
We had an interesting opportunity a couple of years ago where I think this is another way to try to introduce business intelligence into your organization is what are you doing right now, or what are you planning to do perhaps with your 2017 budget that you need clarification on that you're actually spending in the right area or at the right time? So we were asked to do, quote, on a bunch of videos for a client in the automotive market. And we said, well, that's fine. We can do that. And they came up with a bunch of topics. So how did you come up with those? So, well, we kind of talked around a table and came up with them. Said, why don't we actually survey the customers or survey your salespeople? Or better yet, you're sitting on customer service data. What are those SKU numbers that get constant calls? And you know what? Maybe customer service might have a budget that can underwrite part of this too. So they didn't have to go out and do anything crazy or hook up a bunch of different systems. They just had to ask questions a little differently.
Yeah, talking to each other. It's amazing how you work with someone every day, and half the time we don't speak to each other.
That's
so
the trend.
You just assume that people are doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Yep. And this is just communication of data. It's back to just talking to each other. It's from marketing to sales to operations and customer service. It's communication across an organization.
And I think business intelligence, like a lot of the topics that we cover in the Trends book, sound kind of overwhelming and scary when you put a big name to them, business intelligence, you know, CX. But in reality, this is often leveraging data you already have in-house, and it's just being more purposeful about about your sales, about your marketing, about, you know, about your business.
And I think when the listeners to Thundercast go and download the book, there's six very quick examples at the end of the trend story about this, just to get kind of the gears turning so that you can warm up and start thinking about those types of ways that you can get in quickly and prove this out.
That is a nice segue, Jason, because if you want to get your own copy of the Trends book, you can go to thundertech.com/trends, where we have a digital PDF download available. You can get the ebook, and you can also request your very own physical copy that you can hold in your sweaty little hands. And also, if you like what you hear on the podcast, as always, you can subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever fine podcasts are sold. If you could take a second in iTunes and leave a review, that would help us out. We'd appreciate it. And as always, you can see the entire library of podcasts we've done before at thundertech.com/podcast, or just check out our website at thundertech.com. All right. Thanks for listening.
Hotjar.